Chris. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday edition of the Press Box. Nick is here. I'm here. For the next 3 hours, you're there, and we are going to have some fun because we have positives to talk about in Houston sports. It's a rarity. It's not happening all the time lately. Let's hope it's a pattern that's developing. We've got the U of H Cougars on Saturday night. Nick's Cougars, your Cougars, my Cougars. I want U of H to win. I don't care, Baylor Bear fans, if you're favored. I know how good your team is. I'll pull for the underdog as well, but I want the Cougs to win. But you got the Cougs and the Baylor Bears as part of the Final Four. That's awesome. You got the Astros coming out of the gates hot, quick, and fast. That is fantastic. The bats were working. Greinke was good. The result was even better, and that's what you wanted. I got sick and tired of all these prognosticators Nick and I were talking about and reading. Oh, the big hot takes from Bleacher Report and otherwise. Astros don't make the playoffs. Not even a wild card team. You know, they're going to have a whole lot of suck. And they're not going to have this, and they're not going to have that. Well, guess what? Tim Kirkchin last night with his little whiny, doll-like voice. They were doing some kind of, like, DraftKings bet of the night. And he's like, I think that the A's are going to hit more
home runs. You sound like Les Alexander.
They're going to do more good, and they're going to win the game. And I'm like, no, Tim, ESPN your ass out of here. Because you're wrong.
I don't know where to start, man. It's nice to know that there's two teams that we can be excited for in Houston. Not just the Cougs, but the Astros. And
we
honestly
deserve this after all of the hell the Rockets and the Texans have given us.
And as a Houstonian, where do you start? Do you want to talk about the opening day game, or would you rather talk about the Cougs?
I don't think there's any question in my mind. We start with the Astros.
Is it fair? I think that's fair.
And there's so much to unravel, because at some point we're going to get to the Correa thing too.
Oh yeah.
But I think that you start with, you could, you know, with the fans starting to come back in the stadiums, you could hear the booing last night. And it's still going to be a part of what's going on. But like Zach Greinke said after the game, winning may cure that. It cures everything. It may even cure some of that. Because if you continue to win now, at a certain point, they're not going to have much more to say. And there's not that many players left from that team. But the fact that they got a dose of it, and instead of like last year when it was in spring training and they had to have the signs of the people that had signs taken away and security was policing what people had to say, just tough it out, put your big boy pants on, and play good baseball. And you know what? They did. Greinke doesn't have the fastball he once had. But the fact that he has the gamesmanship, the fact that he can think his way through at-bats, the fact that there were so many at-bats early in the game where he could have just given in and threw something over the plate and gotten hit hard, but he kept painting corners. He kept relying on his pitches. He was throwing breaking pitches, 3-2 in counts, getting out of them. He got solid defense, double plays when he needed it. And if he can give you six innings like that every single time, or at least close to it, and I heard Charlie say this, he's absolutely right. With the offense and what they're capable of, there's no reason to believe Zach Greinke can't win 15-plus.
I agree with him. I agree 100%. If he could, and the whole healthy thing, it pretty much applies to a lot of people on this roster, Joel. If they stay healthy, it'd be amazing what this Astros team could potentially do. But I'm so much forward to it. The Carlos Correa situation is unfortunate, but really, if you look at the roster and what they did offensively, yeah, there might have been a few at-bats that you found questionable. There might be some situations with some of the pitchers that you found questionable. But for the most part, you can't really get much better win on opening day. And I know it's not here in Houston. It was in Oakland.
Right.
But still, it's still a really, really, really good win. And
could have been more.
It could have been.
You know, Oakland has two amazing plays in right field. Otherwise, there could have been more damage.
Yeah.
My biggest encouragements, other than Zach Greinke, the encouraging signs that I saw, Jose Altuve in the leadoff spot, especially in getting on and creating an opportunity for Brantley. But the fact that Brantley has not missed a beat, and we were worried about spring training with him. He has a home run. He has three hits, I think it is.
Does he have a chance to be great this year, not just really good? Because he's always really, really good. He's never been like great.
Not major league great, Nick. I would say Michael Brantley great, because Michael Brantley was almost as good as he's ever been last year when he was in the competition for the batting title up until the final couple weeks, that he was hitting well over 300. He's not going to wow you with major home run marks, but if he has extra base hits and he has multiple hit games and he hits for average, that's all you can ask
out
of Michael Brantley.
And this might be crazy for me to say, but sometimes I appreciate consistency over a great player that may only be on the field for 70 games or 60 games. You know what I mean? Let's say that player that's always dealing with injuries is really, really good when he's on the field, but he's just not on the field as much. Or do you deal with a more consistent who's not quite as good in terms of hitting, but you know he's probably going to bat, what, right around 300. You know he's going to get, what, probably 15, 16, 17, 18 homers is a safe guess, I think.
I think in that ballpark at least, yeah.
Sometimes I appreciate that more, to be honest with you. You
know and what I mean? As long as he hits for average because of the guys around him. Because if Altuve, who it looks like, at least in the first night, is going to be an igniter and a catalyst at the start of the lineup, but he's got his wheels back. He looks healthy. And we know that if he's back to even average Jose Altuve, take last year out of the equation, he's going to hit around 300.
Yep.
He's going to get multiple hit games. He's going to do the things he needs to do. Bregman behind him, along with if Yordan looks the way Yordan looked, because that opposite field hit, that's for most players, that's a fly out to left field. He's so damn powerful that he could absolutely take that pitch the other way, and he didn't get a whole lot of barrel on it. And almost hit it out. He had three ribbies, and a nice piece of hitting there. So he's going to be one of your home run guys. Yuli got a hit right away last night, which
he did.
Helps.
I know. And you were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, I was worried.
And when I saw that, I thought of you immediately. I'm like, hopefully this guy can show some sort of consistency. You don't want to see him do bad because it really hurts this roster if he doesn't hold his own weight. I really believe so. But going back to the boo part, because Charlie was saying he doesn't think it's going to be nearly as bad.
Oh.
I disagree. And I think once it gets back to capacity in a lot of these stadiums, and I feel like baseball really wants to, I don't see how these fans forget, even though it's not fresh off the scandal. But I could be wrong. Maybe fans' anger, I mean, people's anger sometimes does eventually wear out. Some people are just angry all the time.
Here's where I am on that. I think that we know guys like to drink at games. We also know that guys like to look for something when they've had a few beers at the game.
Yep, that liquid courage.
To take shots at the other team about. You know, and you go up and down the list, and even with the Yankees and the Red Sox, with the Apple Watches and that kind of cheating, or, you know, sometimes they'll go below the belt if you had a CC Sabathia or someone that had a drinking issue or other thing like that. But it's just too easy that if you're at an Astros game and your team is going against them, you get a couple of beers, and the first thing you're going to go to is something with a garbage can, something with cheating, something with this, something with that. But you know what? If you're pounding their team or you're beating their team, chances are less that they're going to have as much to say.
And also, if you're winning, when you're winning, it's not just they might get quieter, but it's easier to take their grief when you're winning.
You see that the guys in the dugout have rabbit ears.
Oh, yeah.
And when they're the visiting team dugout and they're getting pounded by verbal abuse, a lot of times it's as simple as going, just look at the scoreboard, you know, because that can shut a lot of people up. But I think that when you get what they have, it can also bring them closer together. If they start winning, and we know that how this Springer being out is going to be a key. Who's going to take Springer's role as that catalyst in the clubhouse?
Hopefully Correa.
Keeps them light, keeps them together, hopefully. Does those kind of things. But you look at it, just to finish my thought on what stood out to me, Brantley with a multiple hit game, including a home run. So there's one. If we get 17 or 18 more, we're good. The fact that Bregman looks like he's not going to be what he was last year either. He's going to get back to being Alex Bregman because two extra base hits, you know, including back-to-back with Brantley on home runs. Swing looked really compact, looked really, really like he's packing some power. And Yordan. Yordan was the big if for me because if you look at his track record, you go, well, he won the Rookie of the Year because of his regular season.
Right.
But until the World Series, he disappeared in the playoffs.
Yep.
Which Yordan are we going to get? And then he was hurt. The fact that he bounces back right away with a 3-RBI game in game one and almost hits a ball out.
Now, he'll still have to deal with the pressure in the postseason in the event that they make it, and I think they will. But if he can get over that hump, if he does well in the regular season, like you mentioned, Joel, and he gets over the hump in the postseason, I think that's great. And he's still young enough. It's not a situation, because some players have that reputation, right? Where they just absolutely don't do well in the postseason, not just from an at-bat standpoint, but pitchers as well. We talk about Kershaw sometimes and what he's been able to do in the postseason. But
not
no,
what he could. It's not what Clayton Kershaw could do yesterday, by the way.
Oh, I know.
But yeah, look, and I think that here's the thing. Now, Nick, what we're going to be looking at is the rest. I'm watching the rest of this series. How does the rest of the rotation stack up? You've got a savvy veteran that in Greinke, and so he's always going to keep you in the game for the most part. With Javier tonight, McCullers you're going to look at, or Keady you're going to look at, and you're going to say, hey, you hope Fromber's close. But now, from the flip side of what we were talking about from a batting perspective, from a pitching perspective, how many of these young pitchers can capitalize on their success in the playoffs, on their success when they first got their taste of it last year? Because you're going to need them. Until Odorizzi is back, until Fromber's back, and even him, you're still kind of watching to see which Fromber we're going to get, because we're 2 years away from him being a walk fest.
Right.
And all of a sudden, with the psychologist and everything, he found it last year. So there's a lot to watch with the pitching staff, but that's why when you brought up the fact that James Click said, at least early on, his focus is arms, not offense, that's why. This team is capable on a night-by-night basis of going off like that. Now, they're not going to do it every night, and some nights they're just going to be scuffling. But more times than not, when you look at all the different possibilities that can do good things for you, other than Maldonado and Straw, and that's why I said I didn't care when Charlie and I were going back and forth, and Charlie would remind me what Straw was hitting in the spring. When it's for real, then you can impress me by doing it.
Right.
You're facing big-time major league pitching on every at-bat
it's
now.
It's a different ballgame.
He ain't doing what he did in the spring. So 8 and 9 in the order, I'm not expecting a whole lot, but everybody else in that order has the capability of going off, and that's what's exciting about this team.
Oh yeah. And going back to the James Click thing, I told you about his tone and what I felt like the way he was answering his questions. We'll talk about that because that's in regards to the Carlos Correa situation. But before we go to break, and can we be a little bit childish?
Sure.
When Laureano got hit, I mean, were you a little happy about it? I mean, I was kind of entertained by that. I mean, I don't know why I thought about the little incident that he had with the Astros coach last year, but I was like, I'm not mad you're in pain right now.
And then you think about it. Well, Yordan got
hit. That's just
me
being a child.
Did Yordan and Correa get hit?
Correa got hit. I don't know if Yordan got hit, but Correa for sure got hit.
And then the fans got off on that. But at the same time, Astros fans get off on the fact that when you hit Laureano after the crap he pulled, it's just part of baseball. So.
Does anybody feel the same way about Laureano? I'm pretty sure Astros fans.
I do for sure. But here's the question, though, Nick. The one thing that you can boo till you're blue in the face. You can have your signs. But remember now, at the start of last season is when baseball put in all these things so that you to warn teams don't go after the Astros. I don't know if they put the same thing in place this year.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I don't know if they're going to get hit a lot more now.
Because Altuve was getting booed.
27, Jose Altuve.
I totally forgot about that. That's a good point. They didn't reiterate that.
Yeah, I had heard.
Or maybe they're under the assumption like Charlie, and they think it's not going to be as bad.
Well, maybe because of what happened last night. If it happens a little bit more, that a memo's going to come out.
Maybe, yeah, that could happen.
And they're going to have to say something
and reiterate it. Yeah, that could be.
Because I think right now the jury's out on all aspects of the Astros' past. Are the fans going to be easier on them? Are the other teams going to be easier on them? Because after a season. Even though it was pandemic stricken, is it getting back in? Is it kind of in the rearview mirror now to where teams have forgotten, or is it still front and center? That's going to be interesting to monitor because it could become a problem. That's what I was thinking about late.
If
that
it becomes big enough of a problem, I'm sure MLB will send out some sort of memo, like you mentioned. I'm about a 99.9% sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether or not they'll listen, that's that's different.
We're just getting started on the program. That means there's plenty of opportunities for you to join us and talk about everything positive in Houston sports right now, mainly the Cougars and the Astros, with lots more on the agenda as well, with the Rockets playing tonight against the Celtics. And thankfully, I don't think we have any Deshaun Watson updates. HR&P Lister Line, 713-780-3776. That means you can get to us right away, and you can get in with your takes and what you want to get off your chest. Otherwise, you can hit us up on Twitch and Twitter, at the producer Nick, at PacManJoel with a K, and we love our Twitchers. We are constantly talking to the Twitchers throughout the program because we have actually meaningful discussions and not just aimless shots on a text message. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie. You got the Final Four coming up. You want to bet on the Cougs? You want to bet on the Bears? You want to bet on Gonzaga? You want in-game betting? It's all there for you at MyBookie.ag. Simply put, your money is safe, and when you win, they're going to pay you, but they have up-to-the-minute, up-to-the-second opportunities for you to constantly put wagers down and chances to win. And because you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, it's going to be even more valuable because When you sign up at mybookie.ag and use the promo code bet975, you're going to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. You put bet975 in as the promo code, and you're going to get a deposit bonus, which means you're going to have more money in your account, more money to bet on games, and therefore more chances to win. It's absolutely fantastic. And they've got bets on everything. The college basketball this weekend, NBA games, NHL, UFC, soccer, you name it, they got it. Now with Major League Baseball getting going, you can bet on every game all the time. And because they have live in-game betting, there's always a chance for you to lay another bet down. Thousands of lines, lots of odds. You can turn any game day into a payday. It's simple. You bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag, put in that promo code BET975, and get your chances up with your chance to win MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, and a fun Friday because it's an upbeat sports day in Houston, Texas. We've got more good news for you. We've already touched a little bit on the Astros with a game coming up against the A's. Take that, Mike Fiers. We've got the Cougs coming up with the Final Four this weekend. And now how about this? I have football news for you that is yet another positive for my peeps, the Houston sports fans. Tom Pelissero is reporting, and he's legit, Blue Checkmark NFL Network, the Texans, who still have not engaged in trade talks with other teams, continue to get calls about Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Yes! And if it becomes clear... If it becomes clear, Watson will not be a member of the Texans this season, and he will be gone via trade, holdout, or otherwise. Do not, and mark this down in your little notebooks, do not rule out the Cinderella story of Alex Smith landing in Houston to be there with Tyrod Taylor to give two veterans the chance to be quarterback for your Houston Texans. I'm okay with that.
I don't think he's going to. Actually, to be honest with you, if Alex Smith does end up here, I think he's actually going to be embraced. I think you look at the situation, even if there is a quarterback competition between Tyrod and Alex Smith, I think Tyrod will probably eventually win that. And then Alex Smith can still serve as a mentor, maybe even and still be the backup in the event anything happens with Tyrod. So I think Alex Smith won't get that much. Hey, considering the quarterback situation with Deshaun Watson, and it sounds like Deshaun Watson, his fans are starting to turn on him slowly more and more and more. At first, many people were really just coming to his defense prior to all the sexual allegations and the fact that he wanted a, you know, he requested a trade. But now I feel like his fans are starting to turn on him. So I think Alex Smith will absolutely get embraced. I mean, it's not like it's a genius move, but it makes sense to have that discussion or even consider it, considering the Deshaun Watson situation. It's not shocking to me. I think everybody would embrace Alex Smith. I mean, are you mad at the situation? Yeah, he nearly lost his leg, but you know, he played a game. It wasn't very, very long. He had a few snaps last year, and good for him. I don't expect a whole bunch of run from Alex Smith. So
anything from an Alex Smith career standpoint is just icing on the cake. The fact that he got comeback player of the year, the fact that coming back from, as you and I have both seen the documentary, how close he was to losing a good portion
the entire
of his leg
almost, yeah.
How many surgeries he had to endure. I'm not going to lie to you. When he came back and got the starting gig back from the Washington football team, almost said it. I was scared for him because I was worried that one hit was all it was going to take and it could really take a turn for the worst. And he's a family man. He's married with kids, young kids. He wants to be there for them. He's made a boatload of money. For all the reasons and more, I was like, you don't need to do this anymore, bro. And if it was just to prove that you could come back and you could still play. But the fact that once he got back in there, it wasn't like a charity case that you root for the good guy. He could still play a little bit.
Yeah, he's not bad. No, it's a backup role for sure.
I don't know.
I don't think he could start.
You think he could?
Really?
He started in a playoff game last year.
Yeah, but I don't think he could do that game in and game out. Playoff game, I think that was necessary. You know what I mean?
I think he could. I think he could start. And I think that it's good that it's not A.J. McCarron and Tyrod Taylor. that would be competing for a starting spot if Deshaun's not there. It's two guys that have gotten their feet wet, experienced winning football as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and give you a better chance to win week in, week out by being prepared as an ex-starter. Yeah. I think for all those reasons, I'm okay with it. And I don't think you'd have to overpay for him either. Not to mention his wife's on. So,
Oh, yeah, she is.
I mean, if you're losing AJ McCarron and his wife.
I followed her when she posted the first, the very first video of him like jumping, like when he was like on the field and it was like him doing those like, whatever, those sprints or whatever. And I was just like, oh my God. And I was looking at the video saying, I'm in pain just watching it. Yeah. And I was just amazed by the video. That's when I started following her. But yeah, man, I could see that. I mean, I'd want to be with my kids too. And that's pretty, I think that's kind of bold if you think he could start. I mean, that, and look, I'd like to see it. And it doesn't look like Deshaun's going to play in a Houston uniform, so why not?
Well, and the what I think is a positive about all of this is that teams are still calling. Now, they might be calling because they think they're going to get a bargain.
For sure.
But I think at the same time that as this whole thing plays out, but we're still getting closer to the draft. The good news is that we've seen other players moved and draft positions shift with a lot of picks on the move. And Laremy Tunsil ended up getting the Dolphins 4-1s. But on the bad side, Sam Darnold is still being dangled out there, and the best that they've been able to conjure up from other teams so far is a third-round pick. So somewhere in the middle, and as I always said, if you can get three firsts and a player or two for Deshaun, I think that's all you. I think that's better than you could have expected, and you take it.
I don't take it. I don't think that's a bad deal. I'm not saying that I wouldn't take that deal. I'm just saying I'm not taking any freaking deal until all the sanctions and punishments and fines have been put in place. All the suspensions. I know how long he's going to be out. I know whether or not they're going to give him that exemption. I think Tom Pelissero was talking about some sort of NFL exemption, whether or not he's going to get a suspension. I'm not pulling the trigger. I'm not pulling the trigger on this situation until I know everything. And that's the reason why I think it's going to take so long. Why do you hold off on doing that? Because then you really, really know how much you can get in return at that point. You don't know how, I don't think you could safely grade yourself if you flip Deshaun Watson now before all this stuff is all done. I don't think you can really grade yourself because you would, then it's woulda, shoulda, coulda. What would you have done in the event that this whole case was behind him and then the NFL gave him the suspension and then you could have talks about trading? It might be a completely different dynamic in those negotiations.
Here's where I'm at. I think that there seems to still be a market for Deshaun Watson. And because the uncertainty of when or if any of these cases are going to be seen through fruition, come to fruition and seen to the end so that we know what the end result is and if anything criminal is going to be involved in it.
Yeah.
But I think that your timetable is there's still some intensity and desire from teams. That'll go all the way up through the draft. So there's going to be a sense of urgency on both sides up until the draft. If we get to the draft and through the draft and he's not moved, now there's going to be a long dead period where I don't think he's movable. I know that the whole dead cap space goes way down for the Texans, but I think that then it'll pick up in terms of the progression of all the civil suits and teams are going to be like, the draft is passed. From a Texans perspective, now you don't know the complete draft orders. You don't know going forward what picks are going to be where because it's going to be based on team records for this coming season. And then, so you're going to have to kind of pad the brakes. And from other teams, they're going to be like, now, because we're through the draft, I'm going to wait. I got my roster pretty much set for this season. Now I'm going to wait and see how this thing plays out with Deshaun.
Yeah, that's not a bad approach. I mean, I think there's got to be some patience in everybody's party, like Deshaun, Texans, NFL, the fan base, because it's just so many moving parts and so many moving variables that you can't just pull the trigger on a decision when you don't know what's going to happen in 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now. I just think it's not a smart way to do business, but that's just me. But we still got the Astros to talk about. I love how transparent Carlos Correa has been, Joel. I don't like the fact that there's a lot to say about that.
Okay. I got a lot to say about that.
Well, we'll talk about it, but I think I can appreciate the transparent nature. I can appreciate the fact that there's a possibility that Carlos Correa may not be in an Astros jersey next year, and that kind of bothers me.
We got some sound bites from him, too, and there's one in particular where he lends a little bit of an insight into the Astros, whether that's just about him or what their James Clickish new mentality is about contracts going forward that might lend you to believe exactly what Nick believes. His days may be numbered, and his seasons may be limited in terms of how many more days you'll see him in an Astros uniform. But for the time being, he's yours. He did get a broken bat hit last night. He also got hit last night to cheers in Oakland. But the Astros got the win, and that's all that's important. It's, at least for the first hour, as much fun and positivity as we can have as a Houston sports fan. Cougs, Astros, Watson could still be have trade interest. Does it get better than that right now? Well, if we go to the Rockets, it doesn't, so we're not going there just yet. Half hour into the program, lots more to get to. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
So what are they going to say now?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
We were not close at all. There were not really any negotiations. And the way I feel is, you know, it's another year with the Houston Astros. I'm going to go out there, give it my best, and try to bring another championship to the city.
That's the first of many from Carlos Correa. He did a Zoom chat for the game yesterday with Chandler Rome, Brian McTaggart,
Mark Berman.
Berman with a hat on. Jake Kaplan.
Correct.
We've got a lot of the sound. Here's where I'm at the Correa situation. For all of you as Astros fans that think that the Astros messed up, for all of you that are just so caught in your feelings that you think that this was such a massive mistake by the Astros, y'all are idiots.
It's not a massive mistake. It's a business decision.
Yes.
And it makes sense in a lot of ways. And I can see how Carlos can feel some type of way considering his history with the team, even with the health issues. But, I mean, feel free to disagree. I'm just saying there's probably a certain connection that he feels with this team and this fan base, even though he is getting some grief about what he really thinks he's worth. That probably makes him feel some type of way that they don't want to. And then you look at the counteroffer. Did you see the counteroffer?
Mm-hmm. 5 years.
So it went from 6 years to 5 years, 125. And I think if you want a big contract, that's one thing. A big and a long contract, I think that's a whole different dynamic considering his numbers and his health. But if he really wants a long contract, I think he needs to be a little bit more flexible on the annual number. Like, I just don't see how he can get both.
I don't care how much you want the Astros to be overwhelmingly supportive of their kind of core four and the guys that were a big instrumental role in what kind of a run they've had since 2017 and before that up till now. I care about the track record. He said he talked to Lindor for an hour.
Yep.
He said he loved the contract. But he also basically indicated he's looking for a long-term deal and he's looking for the big money. And with that being said, that's why negotiations, and I'm glad that he said there's no hard feelings, but I have a hard time believing it, because at the end of the day, when it becomes real talk, and that's what I assume you're expressing at the negotiation table. If I'm the Astros, I'm coming back going, well, let's just start with the long term. Why are we going to make the commitment of at least, you wanted 8 years. Why are we going 8 years or more with major money to you when the most consistent thing about your career in the major leagues has been how inconsistently you've been available? Every single year, it's multiple injuries and multiple time on the IL. And multiple times when we're playing without you, trying to scramble around our lineup and our defense until we can get you, and it sets us back. Now, we love you. We love your mentality. We love your dedication to the franchise and the city, and that's not going to change. But we don't love the fact that you think that those are the kind of things and last year's playoff run that are going to factor into us giving you an 8 to 10 year deal. And as much as we loved what you did in the playoffs last year, as much as you've shown signs of being a consistent big-time hitter and fielder. You haven't done it consistently over seasons and playoffs and regular seasons to tell me that you're going to get anywhere near a Lindor money, let alone tell me that you deserve way more than what Alex Bregman's making. Alex Bregman, and look, and I know he was still under contract, and I know they did him a favor, but he was going to hit the open market. And if you let him hit the open market, his value would have been way more, in my opinion, than Carlos Correa. So from Carlos Correa's standpoint, like we talked about yesterday, you can shoot for the moon on years and on dollars. But in my personal opinion, this puts so much added pressure on him to perform now. Now it's put up or shut up. Now it's prove it to me. Now it's, this is your year on a full-blown, full-schedule stage. Can you stay healthy? Can you hit for average? Can you hit for power? Can you defend like you've defended? And if you can, are bad. Then we either jump in and try and get into a bidding war, or we go, you know what? We told you so. We still love you. We're still willing to work out a deal with you probably at a lower cost for less years. And the other thing, Nick, that's key is, though they didn't want to go long-term, the fact they were willing to go five, now he can't say, you were willing to go 5 years with Lance McCullers and he was hurt and he wasn't consistent, but you wouldn't do that with me? Yes, they did.
Well, here's the thing I think is kind of crazy and might be a mistake for Click and company. We don't believe in long contracts. There might come a time where you run across a player and then you might want to give them that 10-year contract. Those 8- and 10-year contracts are becoming more and more common. And so I think you might be forced in a situation, James Click, to where you come across a player that maybe you've helped develop or he's just naturally talented, and you might have to give him a 10-year contract. That's why I don't think it was a smooth move. The other thing I wonder is, how would Carlos Correa react to this team in the event he had a good season this year? And how will he react to this team in the event he had a bad season? If he had a bad season, I think the bitterness may even be higher. If he had a good season, he can be like, well, you know, I can rub it in your face. I can move on to the next team, and I proved you wrong. I was worth every penny, and I got the contract, and blah, 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 blah. But if he doesn't do well, I feel like he's going to hate him even more, and I still think he leaves. But, man, the bitterness, I think, goes up way, way, way more in that case, because not only did he try to sell him, bet on himself, he fails, and he felt like the Astros should have believed in him before the season, not after this season. So it might be a tricky situation for James Click to say that. But who knows? Maybe he's getting that from Crane. And maybe Crane is really steadfast on that. And he will never give a 10-year contract to anybody. I just think that's kind of hard considering the trend of 10-year contracts in baseball today.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too, Nick. But I think that at a certain point, there's a fine line between being cheap and unwilling and being smart from a business perspective.
Right.
And I think that loyalty, sure, somewhere in between there factors in. But when you're looking at it from a smart business decision by a baseball team, look, if you want the loyalty, we were still willing to give you something as it regards to what you've done in the past, give you more than Bregman and give you more than fair $25 million a year for 5 seasons. And we showed you that even though you don't think it was anything, we feel like that was our commitment to saying we still want you in an Astros uniform. And you know what? If you perform your ass off, you're still going to be at a good age where you'll still have another contract to come after that, and we still want you to be a part of the franchise. But if what he's told you is he needs more than 5 years, he's kind of, and he's also said he's looking for a long, long term.
No, he's looking for a long, and but I don't get that. I don't. How can you justify that? How can you justify long and big? Like, there might be a team that want to give him a long contract, but that at that annual salary. And remember, we were talking yesterday about giving him $30 million. Who's going to give him $30 million at that?
I was never open to that.
That's insane. But he did sound defeated. This is what he sounded like.
The relationship is great. There's no hard feelings. Like I said, it's a business. And, you know, they made it very clear to me. They said, we don't believe in long contracts. We don't believe in big contracts. So, you know, when I say free agency, I'm going to look after a big, long contract. And, you know, they made it very clear that they don't believe in that.
Well, this is why I said, Nick, it's a prove-it year for him.
Right.
Because if you think that it's offensive to you that the Astros didn't do a big long-term contract that you're looking for, in the real world, when you go out and dip your toes in free agency, unless you completely just go off this year, you're going to find out that no team that doesn't have a relationship, that didn't draft you number one overall, that doesn't have any reason to candy coat anything, no team is stepping up and going, yeah, you know what? The numbers you put up equate in our books and our analytics to $30 million a year for 8 to 10 years. No way, no how, any of the teams, especially coming off a pandemic and all the money that was lost. There, the Mets deal, because you had a multi-billion dollar owner that was looking to make a splash in the largest city in the country, paid Lindor as well as his abilities, because Lindor has been a stud.
And did you hear what he said about his big contract?
I'm very proud of my game, and this right here, this logo right here means a lot. And I got to go out there every single day and defend it and play as hard as I can for this, for what I have in my chest. That's what it means. That number next to me, that's what it means. Those are $341 million, million reasons for me to go out there and play the game the right way.
And that's exactly what you say after you get paid 10 years, $341 million. But
from a flip side, from a franchise standpoint, you're one of the top four payrolls in baseball already. And yes, Verlander's coming off and Grinke's coming off. But at the same time, you still have a long-term deal with Altuve. You have multiple years left on $20 million a year for Bregman. You have other guys that are coming down the pipe. You have McCullers' new contract. But so you've been willing to spend. But you've also now seen a Jim Crane that's kind of turned the page on by any means necessary to win. Because of the pandemic, because of other issues, he's basically said, at least for the time being, and with a new general manager coming from a Rays system that's more frugal, they've turned the page to becoming more intelligent business people in how they allocate who's going to get the contracts. So when he dips his toes into the free agency water, he's going to find out the Mets are off the table. They have a shortstop. They've overspent. The Dodgers, the number one most spending team in baseball, unless Corey Seager gets away, they're not going to be out there throwing money at your face.
Yeah. By the way, we got to talk about that Corey Seager play. It was kind of weird.
It was weird.
We got to talk about that.
But other than that, you think about it. The Cubs, maybe, but they got Baez. If they want to keep Baez, they're not going after Correa.
Yeah.
And so you either look at it from who's playing the position, or what franchise is in a big market that has an owner that has a lot of money to spend that would go after him. I think he's going to find very hard times in looking for long-term big money like he's looking for.
Yeah, I think he's going to struggle, but we'll see. He'll have to play hard this
year. The one thing I don't want him to do is feel the pressure and struggle in the regular season this year.
I agree. I know, and I think that's going to be a problem. It's a different type of pressure.
And they want to be in this thing to win this thing. They need him, or for the deadline, they need to ship him somewhere where they get someone that can play shortstop for the rest of the season.
That's on Click and Company, though. We'll see.
Lots to talk about, lots to get to. Rolling through the positive first hour of a Friday on the Press Box as we roll through what has been all positive so far to this point with multiple sports involved. We can keep it up if you can, too. Stick with us. It's Press Box. Don't believe me, just ride. Hey, hey,
hey. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the three-hour program. It's Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Look at some of the messages, and someone said Alex Smith did not start that Washington football game.
I didn't know if he started or not. Playoff I just game. Know that he played. I know he came in at one
point.
He
was supposed to. I know Tyler Heinicke finished, but I don't recall what happened if they just decided to bench him or whatever the case was with that. But regardless, I mean, look, he finished the season well. He led them to the playoffs with his play when they needed him in a really crappy division, but the opportunity presented itself, and he still proved that he can throw the ball a little bit. So he's out there, and the rumor from Tom Pelissero is that if Deshaun is not there, for whatever the reason, suspension, trade, or otherwise, that Alex Smith might be a guy that is brought in. On the Correa front, someone texted in, Correa's only had one full season in the 5 years he's been an Astro. That was 2016. Right, that's what I was saying. He cannot stay healthy. And whether it was a masseuse or Daniela or the thumb or the multiple other injuries he's had with his back and otherwise, it doesn't lend itself to long-term. And the performance when he is on the field, though he's great defensively, and though he has his moments with some pop and some clutch hits, he hasn't been worthy offensively of a $25 to $30 million a year a guy, especially for a guy looking for that long of a term contract. I'm sorry. And it's not like I despise the guy. And it's not like I want them to cut it off and go, that's it, he's going to play elsewhere next year. Leave the conversation lines open. If he's open during the season or at the All-Star break or at some point of his continuing talks, do it. If he's not, let him test the waters. Because I really don't believe in my heart of hearts that even if he stays healthy, he's going to hit 300 or close. I don't believe that he's going to hit for power numbers that are going to surpass or equal whatever he's done in the past, let alone be the kind of power numbers that you say, this guy's really got to get paid. And when you look at some of these recent contracts of guys that signed these deals, look at Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, who everybody said broke the bank. But is Bryce Harper now even worth $25 million a year?
There's a good possibility, as good as he's shown that he could play at times, that even after 4 or 5 years, that contract may look expensive after 4, 5, even 6 seasons. Now, that could be wrong. He could be a guy that, you know, stays relatively healthy, still gives you a, you know, 300 batting average, still gives you a decent amount of home runs.
And economics play a lot into it, right? If the market and if the profits all go through the roof and suddenly the going rate for a big time or superstar or all-star type player, the averages start going to 25 to 30 or it starts going up, then you may be looking like, hey, we still got a deal. But at the same time, you're right. It could change. But right now, at $25 million a year, he has such a fall off from where he was with the Nationals. And now you think about Pujols. Think about some of these guys that you have to overpay, even the Lindor deal. I don't think the last 2 to 3 years of the Lindor deal, the Mets are going to get anywhere near value.
Yeah, it's very possible.
They better hope they win a World Series or more, and they make long runs for the early parts of that contract, because the end of it is going to be like the Pujols deal with the Angels.
No, and that's why I think these trends with these 10-year contracts has to somehow stop. I know it's probably not. It's basically nearly impossible just because of the leverage that players and agents have. But, man, I think that trend needs to stop. But at the same time, you're talking about a league that makes what? Before the pandemic, $10, $11, $12 billion in revenue each year. I mean, that's huge. And sometimes that can cover up for a lot of the mistakes and mishaps and the overpaying and the incorrect budgeting in a lot of cases. That's why you can make mistakes like that when you generate that revenue naturally. But it's just I feel like these 10-year contracts are way too common.
Well, and I think that the other thing, as you look at it as it relates to Correa, is look at the teams that are going to be players in free agency or their markets, and then look at who they have playing shortstop. The only chance you have of the Dodgers throwing money at Correa is if Seager goes away. And I don't see the Dodgers letting any of their core players get away, because this is their moment. This is their window. This is their now. And now that they have Mookie Betts and they have Trevor Bauer added to what they already have and they re-signed Turner, they're not going to let Seager walk away, because they know there's too much at play with a team that's going to be competing for World Series for the next 3 years. I think that the Cubs are an interesting situation, again, because they also have a guy that could test the market in Baez, and they always have money. But if Baez, who's a fan favorite, stays, there's no really place or room for Correa to play. So then you slide down the list even more. Are the Yankees going to be in play for him? There's a possibility. They still haven't found a reliable defensive shortstop that brings everything to the table, Gleyber Torres and otherwise. They have some young players. Are they going to be willing to overspend, because they already have monster contracts on the books? They have to pay Judge. They have Giancarlo Stanton making a boatload. They have Garrett Cole making a boatload. Yeah, they print money in New York, but they already have so many big contracts. Are they willing to add another one with Correa? We shall see. Yep. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere close to what he's expecting, because the Yankees, with Brian Cashman and his experience, are not going to throw the kind, like you said, they're not going to throw 10 years at him.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Dreon 290, who normally participates on the Twitch, HRMP hotline, as he calls us on the press box on ESPN 97.5. How are you, sir?
What's up, press box players?
What's up, Dre? Happy Easter.
Man? Hey, just enjoying the day off. You show up to work for 2 hours, ain't got nothing for me, so just running the streets. Hey, I wanted to holler about the Astros and Correa. I think they should be mutually somewhere in the middle. Give Carlos 6 years, 150, with a mutual option for a seventh year for 175, and be done with it, man. I'm tired of hearing all these owners that they're poor. You have one bad year where you lose money, and now you're poor. Just like the oil executives and the airline companies, oh, they lose money, and all of a sudden they're poor. No, it's not true, man. You've been having record profits every single year.
But, Dre.
Pay the man the money. Let's be done with it and take care of business.
Dre, you're a season ticket holder, right? And you have a lot of loyalty to this team. But why are you willing to pay him and go 6 years at 25 a year for what? I mean, he hasn't been healthy. So is that all about loyalty in one playoff run and his defense? Because I'm not understanding from a business perspective, are you doing it because he's your guy and you want to keep your guy and you're hoping for that the tide to turn on his health? Otherwise, we just said it. He's only been healthy for one season out of the last five. His offensive and defensive numbers aren't top of the charts. Is he worth that?
Well, yes, I agree with you financially. I can understand where if you give him 6 years, 150, yes, he hasn't been healthy. But do you really want to let him walk without having a viable option or replacement for him?
Well, but you do.
So how do you feel about
that? You have an option. You just slide Bregman, who played the position when he was out, played the position in college, slide Bregs to shortstop. You have options internally at third base. Otherwise, you can go out and find a third baseman, and it won't cost you as much as Correa. And, yeah, you might slip a little bit defensively because he's rangier and he's got a really rocket arm. But other than that, I don't think you lose a lot. And offensively, I think you gain because of Bregman. Now, if you just find a decent third baseman, I think there are other positions to pay before you overpay from a loyalty perspective for Carlos Correa.
I hear what you're saying. I think it's best to keep the man that you bring up, number one pick.
We appreciate that.
Let's keep the cornerstone. Let's keep the cornerstone together. That's all.
I appreciate it, brother.
Time, fellas.
Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
We appreciate it. And I can see that. I think there is a point in that if you don't sign Carlos Correa, there's literally no guarantee and probably as much smaller chance that you get a decent replacement. You know, at the end of the day, you still have to replace someone like Carlos Correa, even if he's not on the field as much as you like. I mean, you still have to replace that talent. And because that's a fact, I can see why Dre would be like, look, but you know, maybe you can't. You know, but at the end of the day, the Astros probably can't give him a 10-year contract, even if they wanted to. Maybe they can, but they're just not in that ballpark. But it's still something you have to consider. He's still a talent that you have to replace, even if it's just for 60 games, and it's going to be difficult to do that.
I just don't think, and Dre said, you know, about the owners. It's not about the owners whining about the money either. It's about paying proper value for the talent on the table. And it's like when we were talking about Jadeveon Clowney wanting to be paid in the same breath as Aaron Donald, or Mac, when you looked at it and you said statistically and reliability-wise, he wasn't close to equaling or coming near their numbers. So then why, because you were in the same draft class, I should justify that I should pay you like those two guys?
No, that's not a justifiable reason.
And then what happened? He went to Tennessee and showed you exactly who he was again. Got hurt again, hardly played again, didn't put numbers up again. So it's fine for Carlos Correa to have grandiose expectations of himself and to put him in the exact same category as Francisco Lindor. But the numbers and the reliability don't add up. They don't come close. And so the numbers shouldn't either when it comes to a contract, in my mind. So we can talk about it more if you'd like. That's the first hour of the program. Still 2 hours ago. Lots of opportunities for you guys to get involved. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch and Twitter. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's a Friday. It's the Press Box. ESPN.